So take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel.
Welcome to the teaching ministry of Reverend JFK Mensah, a seasoned Bible teacher with over 40 years of ministry experience. He is a pastor, a church planter, a missionary, and an international conference speaker. He is passionate about making Christ-like disciples worldwide. JFK Mensah is the General Overseer of Great Commission Church International. May you be transformed as you listen to the Word of God.
Was blind, but now I see. Oh, I can see you now.
The Holy Spirit is certainly here, and He wants to talk to us and impact our lives. In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Father, we thank you once more. Even as we sit at your feet to hear words from your mouth, we surrender ourselves to you. We say, have your way. We ask that you speak to us. Holy Spirit, we ask that you stretch out your hands and touch us. And you mold us into the image of your Son. And that we will reflect your glory in the name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, by God's grace, this quarter we have been diligently working on the topic Christ-likeness. Christ-likeness. And we have shared that Christ-likeness is the state and the process by which you cooperate with God's Spirit, God's Word, and God's agent in order to fully reflect the image of Jesus Christ in every area of your life. So we say you are like Christ, or you are Christ-like, when, because you have cooperated with the Word of God and the Spirit of God and the agents of God, you are continually reflecting His image in every aspect of your life. Amen.
Amen.
When people begin to look at your speech, the way you talk, and they look at your behavior, your actions, and they look at your motives and your intentions, and they look at your character, and they look at every aspect of your life, the effectiveness and the impact, the influence of your life, and they see Jesus imprinted on you and in you and through you in everything that you do, then we say you are like Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So for the past few weeks, we have been discussing topics like, why is it important to look like Christ? And we have talked about the resources, the provisions that God has given us to look like Christ. And we have talked about our union with Christ as a fundamental resource to imitate and reflect Christ. And we've also talked about the daily quiet time as a team for looking like Christ. But today, we are looking at the topic, becoming like Christ through the daily prayer time. Becoming like Christ through the daily prayer time. And today we intend to dine with the Lord. So I hope to be brief. I hope by the grace of God. Amen. So first of all, what do we mean by prayer? What is prayer? When we talk about prayer, simply, it is when you approach God, in order to communicate with Him and fellowship with Him so that you can build intimacy with Him, then we say you are praying. Whenever you approach God, when you approach a human being, you approach him for a conversation. You approach human beings for help. You approach human beings for support. You approach human beings for encouragement. With God, when you approach Him in order to commune with Him, in order to fellowship with him, so that you can build intimacy and friendship with him. Then we say, you are praying. Amen. And of course, we all know that the scripture enjoins us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 that we should pray without ceasing. And Jesus himself adds in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, that men and women ought always to pray and not to become weak. Hallelujah. We are told in Jude verse 20 that we are to pray in the Holy Spirit, building up our most holy faith. Hallelujah. So the scripture is very clear on the fact that prayer is important. But the challenge is that today, for most Christians, prayer has become a routine. So you wake up in the morning, you say, Father, thank you for waking me up. Thank you for giving me strength. Thank you for giving me life. In Jesus' name we pray. Then you commit the day into his hands and you ask for his help. And then you rush up. Sometimes we do the prayer in the truck. Sometimes we do the prayer while we are driving. Sometimes we do the prayer while we are ironing. But at the end of the day, we have prayed. Amen. For the more spiritual person, our understanding of prayer is speaking in tongues. So you wake up, and as we all say, you begin to pray in the language of the spirit. So kapala sapara dasadaka sabaza. You pray in the language of the spirit for 1 hour, for 2 hours, you are spiritual, then you are done. Hallelujah. But when you look at the life of Jesus and you look in the Bible, you recognize that prayer is more than a routine, something that you wake up in the morning and you do. And it is even more than an hour of speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. Right from Genesis chapter 5, from verse 21 to 24, we see that the fathers of the faith built intimacy and fellowship with God through prayer. We are told that Enoch, when he was 65 years, he gave birth to Methuselah. And after he gave birth to Methuselah, for 300 years, the scripture says, he walked faithfully with God. He walked faithfully with God. And he had other sons and daughters. And after 300 years of walking with God, the Bible says, he was not, because God took him away. We are told of Noah in Genesis chapter 6. I would like somebody to help me read these passages. Which version of your Bible?
NIV
is okay. Genesis chapter 6, from verse 7 to 9, we are told that God wanted to destroy every creature on the earth, all the animals, all the birds, every creature. But the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, that Noah found favor with God. And in verse 9, they told us the account of Noah, that he was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. And he walked with God. Can you read Genesis 6, verse 9?
Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. Now, this is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man.
A righteous man.
Blameless among the people of his time.
Blameless among the people of his time.
And he walked with God.
And he walked with God. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 1 and 2, we meet Abraham. At the age of 99, God appeared before him. And he said that, walk before me faithfully and be blameless, and I'll confirm my covenant with you, and I'll multiply your descendants exceedingly. Why are we talking about these fathers of the faith? There was no written scripture in the time of Enoch. There was no Bible in the time of Noah. There was no church, hallelujah, in the time of Abraham. Hallelujah. Are we all following? Yeah. So when the scripture says for 300 years, Enoch walked with God, or Noah walked with God, or Abraham walked with God, he was not talking about studying the scripture. He was not even talking, and I'm pushing it here, about a daily quiet time of memorizing verses. He was not talking about going to church on a Sunday. Hallelujah. He was talking about a fellowship that could only have been built through a lifestyle of prayer. Hallelujah. A fellowship that could only have been built through a lifetime of prayer. Therefore, the earliest people who built a relationship with God built it through what? Prayer. They built relationship with God through prayer. And even of Jesus Christ, after 30 years, when he began ministry, for 3.5 years of ministry, you never actually see Jesus spending time with the scripture, hallelujah, alone. Because the scripture was not available for individuals in his time. So the only thing that was available as far as building fellowship with God was what? Prayer. This is why you see Jesus praying so much, because that was the only thing that was available for building fellowship with God. So we are told in Luke chapter 11 verse 1 that on one of those days that Jesus went and was praying privately, when he would finish praying, his disciples looked at him and he said, "Master, we are Jews. We have been taught how to pray from birth. But we have looked at your prayer life and we are challenged by your prayer life. Master, teach us how to pray as John taught his disciples." In Mark 1:35, Peter was searching for Jesus. Mark 1:35. And he found Jesus in the place of prayer. Because a long while before day, when it was still dark, he went to a solitary, deserted place. We quote it for quiet time. But the passage says, "And there he
prayed."
And there he
prayed.
Therefore, you can begin to see that if you want to be like Jesus and you try to substitute a private prayer life for the study of the Bible alone, you can never be like Jesus. It's a lie. Are we following? There is no form of Christ-likeness which negates the importance and the power of prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, one of the people I really used to love to listen to was Adrian Rogers. A personality on TV. He's now dead, long dead. But he once made a statement that prayer is the key to unlocking the day. And if you ask any runner, that's what he said, if you ask any athlete, if you ask any runner, your success at the end of the race is determined by your success at the beginning of the race. If you learn how to study your Bible, or you learn how to do a daily quiet time, but you do not learn how to have a daily prayer time, you can never actually be like Jesus. Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Martin Luther said, "A Christian without prayer is like being alive without breathing." A Christian without prayer is like being alive without breathing. So this morning, I want to share with you from the life of Jesus and from the early church, 5 reasons why Jesus prayed, or 5 spiritual things that Jesus obtained in prayer, apart or through his fellowship. Okay? 5 things that Jesus obtained in prayer through fellowship. So apart from the fellowship, apart from the intimacy, what were some of the things that Jesus received in prayer that we ought to also receive in prayer if we will be like Jesus? Number one, the first is that for Jesus and for everyone who prays, prayer enables you to be aligned to the will and the purposes of God. Prayer enables you to be aligned, to be directed, to be ordered by the will and the purposes of God. I'd like us to read some very profound statements of Jesus in John chapter 5, verse 19, verse 20, and verse 30. John 5:19, Jesus tells us that The Son can do nothing of himself, but only what he sees the Father doing. Are you there? John 5.
John chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus gave them this answer.
He gave them this answer.
I tell you the truth.
I tell you the truth.
The Son can do nothing by himself.
The Son can do nothing by himself.
He can only do what he sees the Father doing.
He can only do what he sees the Father doing.
Because whatever the Father does,
because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. 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 Yes.
Verse 20.
Yeah.
For the Father loves the Son.
The Father loves the Son.
And shows him all he does.
Okay.
Yes. To your amazement, to be sorry. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than this.
Okay, the Father loves the Son, and he shows him all the things he does. Let's read verse 30.
Verse 30.
Yes, please.
By myself, I can do nothing.
By myself, I can do nothing.
I judge only as I hear.
I judge only as I hear.
And my judgment is just.
And my judgment is just.
For I seek not to please myself,
okay,
but him who sent me.
You see, from experience, walking according to the will of God is an extremely difficult thing. It is a thing that you can only get through prayer. Hallelujah. Jesus said in John 6:38 that I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And I can tell you that for a son to decide that what the Father does, that is what I do. And the Son can do nothing of himself, but only what he sees the Father do, is an extremely difficult. I want to make it clear to you, it is extremely difficult. I think 2 years ago, my father had to go to Nigeria to speak at a missions conference. And for some reason, Mama could not go with him. So I was asked to be the armor bearer for that Nigerian trip. I said, oh, how difficult can it be? So I went. My work was to be with him, and everything that he needed to do, I must do with him. Are you clear? That was the instruction that was given to me, to assist him in everything that he needed to what do. At first, it was quite easy. We go to the plane together, go through customs together. You know, you are just following. But there are times when it becomes incredibly difficult to do exactly what he's doing. For example, the food. They served us some Nigerian food that impacted my life. And what the Father does, the Son also. Then they call stew soup. Hallelujah. What we call stew, they call what?
Soup.
So you cannot even imagine the problem now. But that was not even my problem. One of the meals that I struggled with was when they served us as a dessert. This was supposed to be sweet after meals. With raw garden egg. And garden egg. To chew. With granules. So I saw my father pick one up. He chewed it. Put it inside the granule. Chewed it. I said, what the Father does, the Son also does. I took the garden egg. I chewed. I said, Jesus Christ. I tried to add it to the granule so that it would be better. When I chewed, it was worse than the I decided, this thing that the Father is doing, the Son cannot do. Then they served us with a meal they call moi moi. And it's nice for you, it's not nice for me. It was beans, the powdered beans. They put the paste of the bean, they put a boiled egg inside, they boiled all. But even though the moi moi was not pleasant for me, what I didn't understand was that they served it with Gary Sokins.
Hey.
Okay, they said the moin moin. When they brought the moin moin, already the thing was strange to me. Then they added a bow. Said Jesus. Then they added Gary. I said God. Then they added sugar. So I was waiting for them to add milk. Because water was there. Milk did not come. So they expected I should eat the moi moi with milkless Gary soaking. I started. The milk was the beef was the. Well, what the father does, the son also what? Must do. But when I started eating the moi moi, I said, this one, the son. And it was a long chain of things that I had to tell myself that even though I'm supposed to do everything he's doing, ask for this and this and this and this. So over time, I've learned that when Jesus said that, whatever the Father does, the Son also does. And the Son can do nothing of it. It is an incredibly difficult statement to make. To live your entire life according to the will of the Father. Without the platform of prayer, it is not possible to know the will of the Father. And it is certainly not possible to obey. Any child of God who wants to walk in the will of God as Jesus walked in the will of God, you need the platform of prayer. One of the passages that challenged me is Acts chapter 10. Peter was a Jew. I want us to read this passage. And God revealed himself to Cornelius through an angel and told Cornelius to go and send for Peter. And yet Cornelius is a Gentile. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
According to the law of Jews, Jews must not associate with what?
Gentiles.
When the soldiers of Cornelius were coming to call Peter, God had to intervene. But how did he do? Let's read Acts chapter 10, verse 9.
Acts chapter 10, verse 9.
Yes.
About noon, the
about
following day.
Noon. This is afternoon. Hot afternoon when we are eating food. He was hungry. He asked them to cook the food, but he went somewhere. Yes.
Okay. The following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city,
yes,
Peter went up on the roof to pray.
Peter went up on the roof to pray. The revelation of unclean animals that came to Peter 3 times, and God said, kill and eat. Whatever I have created, whatever I have called pure, do not call impure.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That revelation, it came in the time of Peter's private prayer. Let's read verse 28 and 29.
Verse 28 and 29. He said to them, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile.
This is what Peter is saying. It is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile. Yes.
Or visit him.
Or visit him. What I'm doing when I get back to Jerusalem, when I get back to Damascus, the brothers are going to fight me. When I get back to Zoppa, the brothers will take me on. Because it is against the law of the Jews for a Jew to associate with Gentiles.
Yes. But God has shown me.
But God has shown me.
Yes. That I should not call any man impure.
I should not call any man impure.
Or unclean.
You cannot obey the will of God. You cannot carry out the purposes of God without the platform of prayer. It is not possible. It is not possible. Because everything that God is contrary to what we are. Our nature as human beings is contrary because of the sinful nature and the fall to what God desires. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. The flesh likes what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit likes what is contrary to the flesh, so that you do not do what you see. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the first reason why we pray is because if we want to walk in the will of God like Jesus, we have to learn to pray, to seek the will of God like Jesus. Number two, the second reason why we pray is that it is prayer that releases strength, that supplies strength to face the challenges, the difficulties, the problems that God brings on our way. It is prayer that supplies strength to go through the difficulties that God brings on our way. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you look at the life of Jesus, this becomes very clear. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 38, he himself told his disciples, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful to the point of death." He's on the mountain of prayer, Mount Olive. "My soul is what? Exceedingly sorrowful." I want you to follow a progression. While they were at Lord's Supper, follow me carefully. While they were at Lord's Supper, in John chapter 13, verse 21, his soul began to be troubled because he saw that one of his disciples would betray him. So he told the disciples that tonight, one of you will betray me. Tonight, I will be arrested by the Gentiles. I will be killed. I will be buried tonight. Okay, and tomorrow. Are you following? So all of the disciples were troubled. And Jesus too, the person that was going to go through it, was also what? Troubled. Let's go to Luke account. Let's go to Luke 22. We are reading, let's start from verse 43 to 45.
Luke chapter 22, verse 43 to 45.
Please follow carefully, yes?
An angel from heaven appeared to him.
So Jesus was also as troubled as his disciples. He sends the 12 to the place of prayer. Okay, are you following? And he told 9 of them, "Wait here for me." All right, they were 11 at us at that time. Okay, so he told 8 of them, "Wait here for me." Then he took the next 3, that comes to 11, a step further. Then he said, "Stay here with me, watch and pray." Are we okay?
Yes.
Lest you fall into temptation and all that. Then he goes a stone's throw and he begins to do what he had instructed the disciples to what to do. Remember, all of them were troubled. All of them were what? Troubled. Then what happened? An angel came to him as he was praying and strengthened him. Yes?
Verse 44.
Yes.
And being in anguish.
Being in anguish.
He prayed more earnestly.
He prayed more earnestly. The more difficult it was, he prayed more earnestly. He prayed more earnestly. He prayed more earnestly. Yes.
And his sweat was like drops of blood.
His sweat became as drops of blood. Yes.
Falling to the ground.
Falling to the ground.
When he rose from prayer.
So it is Christ-like to sweat. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes.
When he rose from prayer and went back.
When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples.
He found them asleep.
He found them asleep.
Exhausted from sorrow.
Exhausted from
sorrow.
Exhausted from
sorrow.
So what was happening was that Jesus was troubled. He was more troubled than all of them. They were also troubled. He took his sorrow to prayer. And as he prayed, an angel came to strengthen him. And he comes to meet his disciples. And his disciples, who are also sorrowful, who are also troubled, are sleeping. They are exhausted from sorrow. And this is why you can now understand in John chapter 14, verse 1, he said, "Do not be troubled. You believe the Father, believe also in me." Do you remember?
Yes.
Do you remember? Because they were troubled as he was troubled, but he was able to carry his trouble in prayer. In James chapter 5, verse 13, he said that, "Is anyone troubled? Let him
pray."
So when you face challenges, just this week, I needed some big money. It's big for me, but for a lot of you, it is small money. Auntie Meg, I'm sure for you to be very much small. I needed some 1,000 Ghana to do some quick things. And I turned to my left, I was not seeing it. I turned to my right, I was not seeing it. And my soul became troubled. My soul became
troubled.
So as I was meditating on God and I was telling God, "I've been serving you, why should my soul be troubled?" Then God said, "Have you come to me in prayer? Have you shared your troubles with me?" So I just began to pray. It was not a scheduled prayer time. I just spent some time. Just pray. I finished praying. I did not receive the money, but I was okay. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Until now, I am what? Okay. Because I have come to understand that the problem is not the trouble. The problem is whether you are carrying the trouble or you have learned how to roll and cast that care and burden upon him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the second critical thing we get in the place of prayer is that we are able to receive strength, draw strength from God to face whatever troubles that come our way. Number three, the third thing that Jesus received in prayer, that we must also receive in prayer, is the quality of our fruits and the steadfastness of those God gives us is maintained only through prayer. Let's read John chapter 17. We're going to read verse 9, read verse 15, and we'll read verse 20. John 17.
John 17. 9,
15 and 20.
Verse 9. I pray for them.
I pray for them.
I am not praying for the world.
I'm not praying for the world.
But for those you have given me.
But for those you have given me.
For they are yours.
For they are yours.
Then
verse 15.
Verse 15.
Yeah.
My prayer is not that you take them out of the world.
My prayer is not that you take them out of the world.
But that you protect them from the evil one.
That you protect them from the evil one.
Verse 17.
Yeah. No, verse 20.
Verse 20.
Yeah.
My prayer is not for them alone.
Yes.
I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message.
This week, through our evangelism, there were at least 6 or 7 souls that I decided I would pray for daily and follow up. Are we okay? Are you following me? I want to show you something. So, one of those souls is called Gilbert, and his close friend is Aaron. So Enam spoke with Gilbert and Aaron, I think last week, or before that, 3-4 weeks. They wanted to come to church. They bathed and prepared to come to church, but something happened, and they were not able to come to church. So I met Gilbert, and I didn't know Enam had spoken to him. And I prayed to him. He said, oh, he'll come to church. And I love his zeal. You were there with me when I was sharing with him. So I went to visit Gilbert during the week. And I found out that he was a barber. And he barbered my head. So it was then that Enam told me that Gilbert is, and Aaron are people that she has shared the gospel with. But they told him they would come to church. And they did not want to come to church. I said, Jesus Christ. So he said, we'll share the souls. I considered Gilbert very spiritual, and I believe he may be. But I started praying for Gilbert and Aaron. On the D-Day, the God who hears prayer brought Aaron and Aaron's friend, but Gilbert could not come. Are you understanding something I'm saying?
Yes.
You see, human beings are held by the hands of God. And therefore, if you don't learn to bear them up in prayer, it is not possible to present them before God, because he holds them in his hands. Hallelujah.
Man.
And this is why Paul spent so much time praying for souls. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's take a few examples. Let's quickly run. Let's go, for example, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let's take verse 2 and 3 very quickly, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3.
First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2 and 3.
Yeah.
We always thank God for all of you.
We always thank God for all of you.
Mentioning you in our prayers.
Mentioning you in our prayers. Mentioning you in our prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Mentioning you in our prayers.
Mm-hmm.
We are just mentioning Gilbert. We are just mentioning Aaron. We are just mentioning Godfrey. We are mentioning you in our prayer that God take care of them. God keep them. God sustain them. God maintain them. We always thank God for you, and we are mentioning you in our prayers.
Mm.
Let's take another one. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Let's read. I'm just jumping this because my time is even up already. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Give me verse 11 first of all.
2 Thessalonians 1:11.
Yes, please.
With this in mind, we constantly pray for you.
We constantly pray for you
that our God may count you worthy.
Oh, Jesus. Our God may count you worthy of his calling. That's okay. Go back. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. 1 Thessalonians 3:10.
1 Thessalonians 3:10. Night and day we pray most earnestly.
Night and day. We pray most earnestly. Not for 1,000 Ghana cedis, but for what?
Souls.
Yes. Are you confused now? Yes, it's good to pray for money. But night and day we pray. Hallelujah.
Most earnestly.
Most earnestly.
May see you again.
That we may just see you again.
And supply what is lacking in your faith.
And supply what is lacking in your faith. Without prayer, a soul, a disciple cannot stand. Somebody must do the work of intercession. The Holy Spirit is doing it. Jesus is doing it. But somebody must also do the work of intercession. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Quickly, number four. The fourth reason why Jesus prayed, the fourth reason why we must pray, is that prayer is what supplies anointing and the hand of God. The fact that God has given you His Spirit, God has anointed you, does not mean that that anointing will perform that which God wants it to perform. The flame must be stirred up. Anointing must be released. The Holy Spirit must be allowed to flow. And He is able to use vessels who spend time in prayer. So if you look at the life of Jesus, some of the greatest miracles that Jesus performed, He performed right after prayer. Let's take, for example, when He walked on water in Matthew chapter 14, from verse 22 to 25. We don't have time, so we don't read it. The scripture says a large crowd had gathered after He had ministered to them. He dismissed the crowd. Then He dismissed His disciples. Then He went on the mountain to pray. And He spent the night praying. And at dawn, He just began to walk on the land. We see Him walking on the lake. We want to imitate the miracle. But we don't know that He spent the whole night in prayer. In Luke chapter 9, verse 28 to 30.
Luke chapter 9,
verse 28 to 30. We admire so much the fact that Jesus was on a mountain and Moses and Elijah appeared to Him. We admire so much that some people still want Moses and Elijah constantly appearing to them and ministering to them. Hallelujah. But we forget that it was in the place of prayer. The passage says that while He was praying, hallelujah. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. He went up on the mountainside and He spent the whole night praying. Now we all know verse 13. When He was there, He called His disciples and He chose 12. But let's read verse 17 to 19.
Luke chapter 6, verse 17 to 19. He went down with them and stood on a level place.
So He went on the mountain. He spent the night praying. He didn't come from the mountain. Then He chose His disciples. Because His disciples were also on the mountain. They may have been sleeping. He was praying. After He chose His disciples, He went down to the level place. And what happened?
A large crowd of His disciples was there.
A larger crowd of His disciples was there. Yes.
And a great number of people from all over Judea.
Yes.
From Jerusalem.
Mm.
And from the coast of Tyre and Sidon.
Mm-hmm.
Who had come to hear Him.
Jesus.
And to be healed of their diseases.
The scripture does not give us the timeline. But it is possible that these people wanted a touch from God. They came to the mountain because Jesus was there. But Jesus intentionally left them at the foot of the mountain. He spent the whole night praying before He came back. And then what happened?
Is it? And those verse 19.
Yes.
And the people all tried to touch Him.
The people all tried to touch Him.
Because power was coming from Him.
Power was coming from Him.
And healing to them all.
And healing them all. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Luke chapter 5. Verse 15 to 17. Large crowds of people gathered to hear Him and to be healed of their sickness. But He often withdrew and went to a solitary place. And there He prayed. And in verse 17, on one of those days, Pharisees, teachers of the law, had come from Jerusalem and all over Judea. And they were gathered. And the Bible says the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Over and over and over again, the anointing, the presence of God is activated through prayer. And lastly, I want to share this. As far as the benefits of praying to become like Christ is concerned, character is shaped through prayer. Scripture is very important to the transformation of character. Other human beings are very important to the transformation of character. Trials and tribulations are very important to the transformation of character. But prayer is also critical to the transformation of character. We are told in Colossians chapter 1, let's read this as well, verse 9 and 10. Paul was praying, constantly praying for the Colossian church, as was Epaphras in Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. Laboring fervently, wrestling in prayer, that they will stand firm, mature, and fully assured. But let's read Paul's prayer, verse 9 and 10 of Colossians 1.
Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying
for you. We have not stopped praying for you.
And asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will.
And asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will.
Through all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
Through all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
Verse 10. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord.
That you may live a life worthy of the Lord.
And may please him in every way.
If you want to be like Christ, you need prayer to know God's will and obey it. You need prayer to receive strength in times of trouble, sorrow, and difficulty. You need prayer to produce fruit that lasts, fruit that stands. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You need prayer to release the power and the anointing that God has promised us. And you need prayer to have a character that pleases God and that is worthy of your calling. I want to give you three tips that I have gained in my private prayer life. The first thing that I have learned developing a private prayer life is set apart particular extended periods for prayer. It is good to be able to pray throughout the day. Once in a while, when you remember you pray, it's very good. But it is important, just as Jesus did, to set apart time for prayer. If you are in a room alone, that is even great. If you are able to pray while others are there, which Jesus did, it's okay. I have one of the people who came to Bible school told me that he's in a room. And his roommates do all kinds of profane things. So he has decided that he will show them. So every morning, this is his decision. He does his private prayer time in the room. He feels free to speak in tongues and pray all his private prayer and disturb them as much as he can, because they too disturb him with secular things. But you must be able to find a place where you can be alone with God. It may not be physically alone, but you must be able to approach God alone. If your prayer life is dependent on prayer meetings, you have a problem. The second thing that I have learned, second tip I've learned in the place of prayer, is the power of faith. The power of faith. Since I understood the power of faith, the way I pray has changed. When I pray, when I finish praying, like we did this morning, I thank God that I have received what I have asked. And I begin to speak it, that it has happened. Hallelujah. I think I said it here a few weeks or months ago. When I had to write the international exam, the TOEFL, I was supposed to write it. I decided to write this last year, July. I only wrote it, I believe, October, in the middle of October. So that gave me about 3 months. But in actual fact, I only studied for the exam for 7 days. And even the 7 days studying, the materials I was supposed to use to study, I decided not to buy them. I felt it was a waste of money. It would cost 700 cedis, and I just felt it was a waste of money. So I depended on materials that were insufficient. But one thing I did not do, every day, not only did I pray for that test, I mentioned to God the specific result I wanted. I told God, I am expecting not less than 115 over 120. I mentioned it every single day. I am expecting 115 over 120. And it's a mark that I've never heard anybody gotten before. So I went to write the paper. And after I wrote the paper, I think it took, I've forgotten, but I think it took at least 2 weeks before the full results came. Every day after the paper, I said, I thank you, Lord, for 115 over 120. I thank you for 115 over 120. When the result came, I was about to open it, then some fear came into my heart. What if you fill the paper? I said, I have 150 over 120. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When I opened the results, would you believe it?
I believe it.
You do you believe
I
it?
I believe it.
Have I showed it to you?
I believe it.
It was exactly 150. It was not 140. It was not 160.
Wow.
It was exactly 150. Over. They said, if I ask for 170, if I ask for 120, I ask for 180. Yes, because some of the sections, okay, some of the sections, I got, they were 4 sections. I got 30 over 30, some of the sections. So these whites are not like blacks. When you get it correct, so if I had asked God for 120 over 120, he would have given me 120 over 120. He said, if you believe, you will receive what you ask for in prayer. Matthew 21:22. So we are going to pray. And let me add one more tip. Let me add one more tip that has helped me in my personal prayer life. Apart from setting apart time and apart from faith, prayerless. This is a very difficult topic to approach. Sometimes, if you don't have a prayer list, when you wake up to pray, if you don't watch out, you don't know what you are praying about. I've had times I wake up at 3:30. Sometimes I wake up at 2 and I say, okay, I'm praying. So I go and wash my face, which is a tip. I wash every morning, I go and wash my face. If I can, I even brush my teeth. But I wash my face. And I go back. But anytime that I don't have a prayer list, I'll just start praying. I'm praying. Before I know what, I'm falling asleep.
No, you go listen to the Lord.
Not only that, I will be praying. I'm dozing off, but I'm actually praying. When I wake up, I remember the things I prayed about. And the things I prayed about, has it happened to you before? When I think about it, they make absolutely no sense. Why? Has it happened to you before? Whenever you wake up to pray and you have not decided what you intend to pray about, if you don't watch, your prayer will just be foolishness before the
Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah. And the prayer list helps you, like I mentioned with the test result, to track the faithfulness of God. When you put something before the Lord repeatedly, he answers. It's a demonstration of faith. But if you are too rigid in your prayer list, your prayer will lack the presence of God. The Holy Spirit will be saying, today, pray for this person. But because the person is not on your prayer list, my prayer list is so long. For other people, my prayer list is so long that I need a minimum of 2 hours before I finish bringing my prayer list. So because of that, a lot of the times, I find myself praying, oh Jesus, I pray for Katechi, I pray for Weston, I lift up my letter before you, I lift them up, all my disciples, I take them one by one, Genevieve, I lift them, and before I know, I've prayed for 2 hours, I've mentioned everybody, I've gone through my whole prayer list, but the truth of the matter is that I've not actually fellowshiped with God. I've not heard anything from him. I've not received a specific thing to pray about from him. I've spent the time so focused on my list that anytime God wants to depart from the list, I'm not able to follow him. So you have to learn how to have a list, but still be yielded to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. We're going to pray. Is the Lord's Supper ready? Okay. So we are going to spend some time prayer for the Lord's Supper is fit. And we invite Apostle JFK to help us administer the Lord's Supper. But I want you to be on your feet. I want you to be on your feet. And I want you to ask the Holy Spirit for a fire for personal prayer. A fire for private prayer. A fire for consistent prayer. A fire for repeated prayer. A fire for unceasing prayer. A passion, a hunger, and a thirst to spend time with God in prayer. Just begin to pray and speak to the Spirit of God. Tell him, Holy Spirit, I desperately need you. I desperately need you in my prayer life.
I'm not able to pray as I ought. I'm not able to pray as I ought. But this morning, I ask for the spirit of prayer and supplication.
Just to give spirit
to him. Transform my prayer life. 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 Give me the spirit of prayer. Give me the spirit of prayer. Give me the spirit of prayer. Give me the spirit of supplication. Maybe your prayer time is before your prayer time. Maybe your prayer time is after your prayer time. But there must be a regular altar of prayer. There must be a regular altar of prayer. Give me the fire of prayer. Give me the fire of prayer. Give me the spirit of prayer. Give me the fire of prayer. Private prayer. Personal prayer. Closet prayer. Lege Rosera. Rame Aseli Atoa. Meli Ashede Ruatea. Mali Ashede Ruadia. Reda di Ashende di Ato. Maradori Ashede Brunda. Rea di Aseli Alfoli Asepo. In the name of Jesus. There are some enemies to our prayer life. Sleep is an enemy to prayer. Distraction and a busy schedules can be an enemy to effective prayer. Selfishness, self-centeredness can be an enemy to effective prayer. Doubt, unbelief that God may not be able to do this. Why don't I struggle to do it by my own strength? Can be an enemy to prayer. You want to lift your voice that every pestilence, every enemy, every disease in my prayer life that is crippling my private prayer must be uprooted this morning. I uproot every enemy against my prayer life. Every enemy against my prayer life. Let it be uprooted this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let Rattori Ashete, Randali Ashete, Brendoriansa, Radadori Amporondorosa, Randali Ashete, Brandorianta, Randali Ashete, Briantorondosa, Randali Ashada, Randali Ashete, Brendorianta, Randali Ashete, Randali Ashete, Randali Ashete, Randali Amporondosa, Randali Ashete, Randali Amporondosa, do something new in my life. Something new in my life. Something new in my life. Oh Lord, do something new in my life, something new in my life, something new in my life. Oh, we cannot do without you. We cannot do without you. We cannot do without you. Oh Lord, we cannot do without you. We cannot do without you. We cannot do without you.
I want you to take a decision concerning your personal prayer life. A decision
of an extension, an enlargement, an expansion of your current prayer life. The time, the quality, the effectiveness. What are you going to start doing to build an effective daily prayer life? Make sure you take a decision. How are you going to expand your prayer life? Maybe you've only been doing 5 minutes, maybe 30 minutes, maybe 1 hour, maybe 2 hours. How are you going to expand your prayer life? Father, we thank you for this time. You taught us, Lord Jesus, that we ought always to pray and not to faint. Once you have given us the command of prayer, then you will supply the strength, you will supply the grace, you will supply the enablement to pray as you pray. Lord, I lift up before you every single member of this church, everybody that is before you this morning. Let a special fire of prayer be released upon us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let the spirit of prayer and supplication be released upon us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, build up our personal, our private, our closet prayer life in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let this week mark the beginning of a growth in prayer that will cause us to reflect the image of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.
Amen.
Follow JFK Mensa Ministries on Facebook and YouTube and invite others to listen to his podcast. You can also access some of JFK Mensa's books and keep up with his ministry at www.jfkmensaministries.org. God bless you.